I think that getting feedback is one of the most important things of starting out. And if no one's giving it to you, you have to ask, because nothing's going to prepare you for your first job. Unfortunately, yeah. Like apprenticeships are great. Internships are great, but it's still you when it's someone's riding on your success. It's yeah. like, holy.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am so excited to be in Denver, Colorado, celebrating extraordinary women in tech like Shannon. Hello, Shannon.
Hi.
We are on the Women in Tech tour. It is really, really cool to be so inspired by these women just taking chances in their life to seriously create reality out of the impossible.
Hi, my name is Shannon Smales. I am professionally a talent advocate with Woo.io. Otherwise, I am the junior board chairwoman for an organization called OWL, also known as Open World Learning.
And what does WOO focus on? And then what does OWL focus on?
So WOO focuses on finding people jobs in tech, you know, software development, web development, some product management, data engineering, that sort of stuff. And then OWL focuses on bringing technology to children in underprivileged areas in the Denver area.
Tell me about your company, WOO.
So my company, Woo.io, is a tech recruiting company. We mostly deal with candidates in software development, some product management design, but mostly software and web development. And we help candidates find jobs that they're really passionate about based on their expectations. So their salary, the type of role they're looking for, so like title type
right.
stuff, where they want to work. You know, sometimes commuting in the Bay can be a real pain. So
right.
that type of stuff, stage of company and all
yeah.
that. So we try to align the companies, what the company can offer with their expectations.
And what made you passionate about recruiting? Okay, first of all, can we get into this?
Yeah.
Recruiting's a bad word, right?
I feel like it can be, yes.
Especially, why is that?
I think that a lot of people perceive recruiters, like agency recruiters, to be very spammy or very like kind of sharky
right.
or too salesy. But the reality is that there's most recruiters are good. You're always going to run into those types of people,
yeah.
which is unfortunate because it kind of creates a bad name for everybody else. The difference is now there's a lot of recruiting platforms
yeah.
that are different. They use a mix of technology and human interaction
right.
versus just kind of solely the human interaction that agencies typically
yeah.
So it's definitely an interesting transition. But yeah, recruiter, especially if you're talking about external recruiters, they kind of have a bad rap, but I know so many that are amazing and
yeah.
are really passionate about helping people find
I
jobs.
Just think it's interesting. And by the way, if you guys hear like that battery motor sound, we're sitting in the Kia. Thanks to Kia for sponsoring the Niro to get us cross country right now. And we have the cooled seats going on in this hot Denver day. It's like crazy hot. It's like the LA heat wave
yeah,
over here.
It's like 94.
It's nuts.
Which is hot.
So that's what you hear in the background. But the idea of recruiting has always been interesting to me because I'm not a recruiter. And some people are like, you know, so many people, you should be a recruiter. I'm like, why does this term recruiter have such a bad rap? Because isn't a recruiter someone that helps you get your dream job so you can make money and have your livelihood? I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Like, isn't like everybody's saying they're having a hard time finding a job and yes. The recruiter's job is to find your job. So how's that bad?
I think people get frustrated in the process of not hearing back from recruiters. Even when I was looking for my most recent job, I got contacted by a bunch of recruiters and then never heard back from them. Yeah. So I think it definitely is like anecdotal experiences that make people feel that way. But I'm actually less of a recruiter, more of a job coach.
Yeah.
So I don't directly like reach out to companies for candidates, and I actually don't source candidates. They come to our platform and then I'm assigned to these candidates.
Right.
And I help them improve their resume, their profile on our site, talk them through interview prep, and most specifically offer negotiation, because obviously that's something you don't go through very often.
Right.
And people get very anxious about it.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I really care about, especially for women in tech.
Yeah.
You know, really helping them get to what their worth, both, you know, later in the process, but also when they're setting up their profile, making sure their salary is actually accurate for their experience.
And let's talk about Woo specifically. And it's woo.io. And it's woo.io.
Correct.
Okay, cool. And let's talk, like, what inspired you to create? When was it founded?
A couple of years ago. So it's only,
a little closer. Yeah.
It's only like two, three years old. So it's pretty new.
But that's pretty great in the startup world.
Yeah, it is. They're actually based in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And I'm working in the U.S. with U.S. Canada.
Yeah. Tel Aviv, I believe, is the top. I think Los Angeles and Tel Aviv keep swapping for being the top two and three startup city in the world.
I went recently and it's actually pretty amazing. I did not know that there was a startup world, but they have so many successful exits. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, it's insane. So first of all, why don't you repeat for everybody, what is your role at Woo?
My role is talent advocate.
And what does that mean?
It really means for you to be an advocate for your candidates, whether they find a role through our platform or otherwise. Of course, you know, we want people to find roles through our platform because that means that we're doing something right.
Right.
However, we realize that there's 100 million ways, especially now, so many platforms, so many other networking to get jobs. So what we want to do is just provide, provide a sanity check for these candidates going through the process. Just be there to support them. They find a job through a platform, that's awesome. If not, you know, I just hope I can help them in any way, like negotiate offers, interview prep.
And what kind of jobs do you have at Woo?
A lot of web development, a lot of software development. I think we're kind of getting a little bit more into like data engineering and machine learning. But, you know, as most people know, those can be a little bit of niche roles.
Yeah.
And there's not as many as like general web development.
And before you started working with Woo, were you in the tech world?
Yes, I was doing a similar role with another hiring platform. So I'm pretty well-versed.
It's kind of your steeds.
Yeah, right? I actually never thought that I would find a role like I had again.
Right.
And then my company decided to create this role and I was like super stoked.
Yeah,
it's so important. Candidates need support. And I think a lot of people have the misconception that, oh, tech, people in tech, like they have so many opportunities.
Right.
There's a million web development roles open. But the reality is that you don't go through a job search every day.
Right.
So it's not really a natural process. So because of that, the support is really, I think, necessary and very well received from developers.
And when like was your first parlay into the tech world? Like, were you a kid? Like, when do you feel like you identified as having an interest in technology?
That's a very interesting question. I actually kind of just fell into it after I graduated college. Well, initially I wanted to be an orthodontist.
And that's totally different.
It's totally different. But at the core, my kind of like life's goal has always just been to help people.
Right.
And I thought that through doing like dentistry and orthodontia that I could really like help people.
Right.
And then I decided I didn't want to be $500,000 in debt and 10 years later before I was starting my career.
Wait, dude, it's a real thing.
It's real expensive.
It's a real, you guys, just taking a time out for a minute. You guys listen to the podcast. I think it's called Sex, Death, and Money. Maybe it's Death, Sex, and Money. I always get it. It's one of my favorite podcasts, and I always swap the two words. There's a whole two-part series, I think, on debt. And it talks about how, like, this doctor, like a really high-paying doctor, regrets becoming a doctor because he said, when I was a broke student, I had a better life than I do now as a doctor with all this debt. Like,
it's crazy.
It's a real thing. So it makes a lot of sense.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive.
I was panicked when I made this choice.
Yeah.
And of course, you don't want to feel like you're letting other people down.
Right.
Because I've been telling people since I was 8, like, I'm going to be an orthodontist. So,
right?
Of course, for yourself, you're like, oh, like, I gave up. But that wasn't really it. I just decided to take my passion for helping others and put it in another direction.
Right.
So I was applying to all these roles as I was graduating from Clemson, and I was not hearing back from certain roles. Like, I wasn't hearing back from, like, sales or marketing, but every recruiting role that I applied to, I heard back from. So I was like, I feel like this is a divine intervention sign. I need to just go with it.
Right.
So I ended up being hired for an internal recruiting role on contract that I stumbled upon.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a back in the day.
Wait, is stumble upon still a thing? No, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe. But yes, it's OG tech.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, OG tech. They had crazy algorithms and stuff. It was very impressive.
It was really popular then, yeah.
And so I started there.
Stumbled Upon was like this amazing sharing tool, bookmarking website.
Yeah, and you just
press
Stumble. Yeah. It was so popular when we were like freshmen in college. Yeah. It's a real time sucker for sure. So I started there. And then once that contract came up, I started looking for roles, started internal recruiting again at my previous company, and then saw this talent advocate role, and I really admired every person that was in the role, and I was like, these are just people that, like, I want to emulate those people. And so I started talking to my boss about making the transition into that role, which is when we moved from San Francisco to Denver.
So amazing. Okay, and you're engaged, about to be married.
Yep.
And I really love to talk about that because I find that it's something that comes up a lot, the conversation about being a partner or being a mother and being career driven. Mm-hmm. What do boundaries mean to you?
This is an interesting question because I actually grew up in a very societally opposite family. My mom is an executive. Well, she was an executive. She's now in her pre-retirement job, but she was an executive for many years. So for me, I always saw myself as a career woman, because that's what I knew. I didn't know when I started working that there was this thing, this like looming cloud. My mom never talked about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of normal for baby boomers to kind of just like zip the lips on it. But I had no idea that there were all of these hurdles.
Right.
And so I think it's really difficult because I think you and your partner definitely have to have agreements on it. And it's a conversation that me and my fiance have had before.
Right.
Because it's really important to me, at least in my current state of mind, to want to work through having children and all of that stuff.
Right,
because I find fulfillment out of helping people.
Yeah, it's an I'm so glad you said that. Well, to finish my statement, it's an expression of creativity. Yeah. I'm glad you said that because when you're going to become an orthodontist, right?
Yeah.
It was all about helping people.
Right.
And now your whole profession is still about helping people.
Right.
So it's interesting to find that thing that you're actually passionate about, because it doesn't necessarily have to be how you think it should be. Like, being an orthodontist,
there's a million directions.
Yeah. Like, what industries can I help people in that I will enjoy that makes sense to the other areas of my life too?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So since I'm like so focused on this one core thing, you know, when I was looking for a new job, I was like, okay, I need to have these three things. And my fiance said something like, well, I don't even care about XYZ thing. I'm like, but it's so important to me.
Yeah.
And what I've learned from working with people on a daily basis, everyone is just so different.
Yeah.
So I would love to keep working through having a family and all of that stuff. I think you just kind of see how it shakes out.
Right.
Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't. I have some long-term goals that I think might align well with motherhood. I don't know. But it's definitely interesting because you can't really predict what your future situation is going to be. Like, right now, I would say, like, hell yes. Like, I'm going to... Can I say hell yes?
Yeah!
Hell yes! I feel like I'm going to want to work because it makes me happy and it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something every day and helping people. So I just got elected to be the president chairwoman of a local nonprofit junior board. We're called the Night Owls. The actual organization is called OWL, Open World Learning, and it provides after-school technology programs to underprivileged areas in the Denver area. Why it's so important is that technology creates so many opportunities, and unfortunately, if you don't have technology at home, you're pretty far behind.
Right.
So the goal is, you know, we're giving possibilities through technologies. It's a very cool organization. Once a kid gets to a certain level, so it goes starts in grade school, and then there's some like day programs in middle school. But once a kid reaches a certain level, they are gifted a computer,
right?
Which this is something that their family wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. And there's just crazy, amazing stories about families going from homeless shelters to having roles,
right,
because of these computers that their kids earn.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing. And yeah, we're just doing everything we can to get the word out about it, because it's a local gem, Denver's best secret. But we're always looking for donations for computers and stuff. And I know a lot of tech companies kind of don't know what to do with them.
Totally.
So we're always looking for that. We're always looking for help.
People find out more? Like, what's the URL?
Openworldlearning.com.
And how long have you been involved?
So the junior board's almost brand new. We just finished our first year of the junior board.
Junior board?
It's kind of like a young professionals board to ease people into being a member of a nonprofit board, because, you know, most nonprofit boards, you have to get a lot of donation money.
Right.
So this is just kind of a way to ease people into it, get people involved, see if they like the experience of working on an actual board, because
right,
a lot of people actually enjoy hands-on experience right, better. So just, you know, kind of getting people prepared for working with nonprofits and, yeah, getting the word out to more young professionals. Like, our group's targeted at recruiting young professionals for the gala that we have coming up shortly, for volunteering,
right,
and that sort of thing.
And the whole MO is people who couldn't otherwise afford technology,
yeah,
to make it possible for them,
yeah,
to be immersed in the world of tech.
Yep, and they learn like basic coding skills. It's pretty awesome, and it's 50% women and 50% young men.
And what's the age range?
It starts, I think, sometime in grade school as an after-school program, and then it becomes like more of an elective in middle school. So it's very nice also for the families,
yeah,
because they don't have to worry about their kids, like where their kids are after school, like they're learning like,
right,
great stuff. So it's pretty awesome.
What advice would you give the 18-year-old version of yourself about career and profession?
Oh, man. I would say that my biggest issue when I first started, well, first of all, when I was looking for a job,
right,
I refused to let anybody help me. I told my mom, didn't know anyone in tech, she didn't know anyone in San Francisco, so it wasn't going to be that much of help, but
right,
I was like, no, like, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to prove to myself
right,
that I can do it on my own.
Right.
I'm like, you know, it's just not how the world works.
Yeah.
Your opportunities are so much more vast if
yeah,
you have someone referring you, like
right,
the rate in which referrals get hired is crazy. Like
100%.
You got to use your network. So I wish that I had known that, you know, when I was first starting
right,
out. I wish I would have changed paths sooner when I realized that I didn't like the classes I was in at school. I changed my major, but I still took all of the pre-dental courses, and kind of like after school, I was like, it wasn't a waste because it was a learning experience.
Right.
I was like, oh, like, I should have known when I changed my major that I was passionate about something else.
Right.
And you just kind of have to, like, release what you think is the ideal situation
yeah,
and become realistic about, like, what it is you actually want to do.
Yeah. Become honest with yourself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, I should have been honest with myself when I was not doing well in,
yeah,
in like, physiology, that it probably wasn't going to work out.
It's so funny.
But, you know, like, I'm too hard on myself always, even still today. But I think, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, God grant me the serenity, you know, to change
yeah,
things
yeah,
I can and not worry about
the things that you can't change.
That I can't change.
Yeah.
And so I try to really think about that. in the professional world, I wish I would have told my 18-year-old self to shut it when people are trying to give me feedback, because at first I was definitely like not prepared. Like, yeah. I feel like millennials just, I feel like I can say this because I am a millennial and I don't want to bash on millennials, but it's like, we never like received like good peer-to-peer feedback.
Right.
And it's like a lot of times in startups, like your manager might be a year or two older than you.
Right.
Sometimes older than you, like significantly, but a lot of times not. It's just the first person who got into the company.
Right, right.
So you kind of like really have to adjust like how you understand hierarchy.
Yeah. So what's one thing you do to overcome challenges?
I think that for me, especially because I'm admittedly a very high anxiety person, I really have to like take a breather.
Yeah.
And in order for me to manage difficult situations, again, like I need to think about like what can I impact change on and what can I not control, and focus really on the things that I can control, because the other things just drive me absolutely
off,
just up the wall. Like, and I'll worry about it. I won't sleep at night. Like, so I really try to separate those two things and focus on the things that are within my reach to change.
One last kind of question, because then I want to also ask how can people get in touch with you and find you. But before that, when you wanted to switch professions and you got your new job or the job that you have now, especially the first one, did you feel like you were prepared for the job, that you knew how to do it? I find that we sometimes hold ourselves back. How did you get past that to secure a role and become great at it, where now it defines your profession?
Yeah, when I first started, I feel like it's kind of like nothing can prepare you for college. Like, high school can't prepare you for college. Like, it's so different. And like, no amount of classes in college or, you know, classes anywhere can really prepare you for real life situations, because they're so diverse and they're just so random. You're like, I couldn't have even dreamed that this situation would happen. Like, I could never even think of this situation. So I think it's very hard to be prepared. I think you need to have a certain level of confidence and believing in yourself. But again, like, listening to feedback, asking for feedback is so important.
Yeah.
And I was not good at taking feedback. I even had gotten feedback, and I'm very open about this because I think it's important for people to hear. Like, I got feedback that I was not good at receiving feedback. And I was like, okay, like, let's get this together. And like, I tried, for me, that was one of my biggest weaknesses. And it's like, I was receiving it, but I wasn't receiving it well.
Right.
Outwardly, like, I'm very expressive. So that was kind of an issue for me, like expressing that I was like unhappy about
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think that getting feedback is one of the most important things of starting out. Always, and if no one's giving it to you, you have to ask.
Right.
Because nothing's going to prepare you for your first job. Unfortunately, like, apprenticeships are great, internships are great, but it's still, you, when it's someone's riding on your success, it's like, holy.
Know. No, totally. I love it. How can people connect with you? Where can they find you online? Where can they look up more? Well, they could go to woo.io. But how can they find you directly and reach out?
LinkedIn is a great way.
Can you spell your name for everybody?
Yes. S-H-A-N-N-O-N-S-M-A-L-E-S. Soon to be Ogborn. Last name O-G-B-O-R-N.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So yeah, and then my personal email, honestly, I don't mind, is SESMALES@gmail.com.
Amazing.
I try to help the community. I think from a professional knowledge standpoint, it's so important to give back, which is why I started working with this nonprofit. And I think just being able to provide that to the community is just one of the most important things for me, because I know that there's so many people out there who don't get on these sites, and maybe their job function's not quite the same, but they're really having, you know, a struggle with it. So I just want people to know that they can reach out to me.
That's awesome.
I'm here to help.
And I told you when before we started rolling, so this is a Compass bracelet. Okay, remember I told you you're going to get stoked.
Okay.
So it's a female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. She makes these by hand. Cool. This is cork imported from Portugal. The
is made to look like gender neutral leather. And but it's cork.
Yeah.
And it's number 2121. So what you do is you add how you received it, like the story shareyourcompass.com. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman who in tech who really inspires you. And then they share the story and then they give it to another woman in tech. And the idea is that we can see one another where the bracelet goes. So you could become friends with someone.
I just got chills. That's awesome.
I feel like it's unifying the global women in tech community in a really like-minded way. Yep. And so shareyourcompass.com. This is 2121. Do you have an idea of who you're going to give it to?
Are you talking to Leah James?
Possibly.
She's in Denver. She runs ladies group in Denver. And I was with her on this nonprofit junior board last year. She's so amazing. She worked for a touring school, which is a boot camp.
Right.
And she's just so cool. And like, I love chatting with her. Now she's running this tech ladies group, which is such a huge need in Denver. And so
that's awesome. And where can we find out more about Leah?
That's a good question. Maybe on the Tech Ladies site.
And what's the URL? Just techladies.com.
Techladies.com.
Well, Google Leah James.
Yeah.
Is it Leah James?
Yeah.
And our amazing teammate Carl will put it in the show notes as well. Perfect. He'll Google it for us. You just go to the show notes. But this is for you and then to give to Leah. So I imagine you want to give it to Leah. And then you have your this is the instructions.
Okay. I need instructions.
But it's awesome. And so that's the concept that every 2 weeks it moves to another woman in tech. And then we just get to know one another. I just think it's the coolest idea that if it's starting with, like, let's say I was in your seat, right? 15 people down, that's probably going to be a person that's pretty compatible to you because it started with you, right? It's just, that's so wild.
It's interesting to see the tracking because I think everyone's inspired by different things and different people. I'm so inspired by my mom. She's not in tech, but she was an executive in male-dominated industries for a long time, like power tools, sporting equipment.
Crazy.
So like, I just really like admire her. And I think like when I see strength in women, like I really admire that.
Yeah.
So
I love
that's
it.
Kind of like how I feel inspired, but everyone has like a different, you know.
I
a
love
different
it.
Outlook.
Totally. Yeah. Yay. See, I told you that would be, it's like,
it's awesome.
It's That's not so just cool. a bracelet. It's a, it, this sounds so cheesy, but literally it's a movement.
Everyone like makes fun of me that I like am so obsessed with stuff like this.
Yeah.
They're like, Shannon, like you care about every person you've ever met. Like, it's so bizarre. I'm like, no, like I live for this. It's like so exciting.
So rad.
Tracking your own path. It's cool.
I love it. Well, cool. You guys, to listen to more incredible Women in Tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech podcast at womenintech.fm or to connect with Women in Tech online, go to womenintechvip.com, which takes you straight to the Facebook group. I just made it easy so you guys don't have to search all over the place and ask me which one it is. womenintechvip.com forwards to the Facebook group. I will talk to you guys here. You guys, see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com. And just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.